Blog Talk Radio.
There, who's ever done electrical work, all you electricians out there, you'll recognize this sound. That's the clicking of an electrical multimeter. You can set it down, grab one lead, grab the other, black and red, hold them in each hand. Right now, I'm showing up at about, well, actually this time about 75, very high voltage, probably because it's the show. Normally, it's about 30 to 50. Basically, what I'm saying here is that there's proof in science that we're made up in part of electricity, and it can be tested anytime with a very common tester that I use at my work, my job as an electrician, every single day. This is not a trick. It's not a magic trick. Might do a video for it later. This tester, this meter, is used to save human lives from being electrocuted. It is also used to save extremely expensive equipment from being destroyed and not having the wrong currents traveling through it or to overload something. It's very real. It can be used to protect you. It can be used to protect very expensive equipment. It can also be used to prove your own life, to prove your soul or a portion of your soul, the electrical impulses that flow through us all, and including through the air. Tonight on Transcendence, we'll be discussing psychic vampires, those who feed off of this life force. Join us. Transcendence with your host Darren Bouquet, and I see he's in the queue now. I'll bring him in just a minute after some announcements. First of all, I'd like to remind everyone that Main Street Universe is a network of 5 shows. This one is 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Sundays. It's called Transcendence with Darren, Bouquer, and myself as sort of a co-host, helping out with the board and such. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Darren is a reader at Marie Willow's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. Monday evenings, we have Walking on the Sidewalk with Mr. Kevin Baird. Kevin can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. On Tuesday evenings, 10:30 p.m., we have Inner Wisdom with Mary Phelan. Mary has been on television locally here in Fairfax now for about 14 years. So be sure to check her show out, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesdays. Then on Wednesdays, the flagship show, Main Street Universe, started by Kevin and myself, but now hosted by myself, hostess Janice, and returning to Main Street Universe last week, Mr. Brett Hillman, one of the early co-hosts with us, is back with us on Wednesday evening. Then Fridays, we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with your hostess, Jessie Ann Nichols George, who does a great job. She's a really good interviewer. She's the author of two books, Activating Compassion and the accompanying Activating Compassion workbook. So, with no further ado, and two more little gong hits there, let us bring on our host, Mr. Darren Bouquer. Welcome, Darren.
Hey, hello, Daniel. How are you this Sunday evening, my friend?
Doing well. I was a little overwhelmed with activity this week, so.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Hopefully the business is going well and all that sort of thing.
Everything basically is, and it's just to the point of trying to manage time.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of energy, I'll admit I was a little frazzled, more so than usual, starting the show, but not in an extreme way. Because it was funny, because I did the multimeter test in the beginning that you heard, and it was much higher than it was earlier today when I tried it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that means you have an excess of energy. That's what we're talking about.
Possibly. And also, the amped upness of doing the show, maybe there's a little bit of that extra performance energy, I guess, that comes into play.
Oh, yeah. We don't expel. It's funny that we can feel drain, but also an overabundance of energy could also be debilitating. And that's what I have found is I tell a lot of my clients, if you're feeling frazzled or frantic or something, send your energy into a tree. Or send it away from, or send it down into the earth. Do the meditation where you're connecting roots, energy channels as roots into the ground, and send it back down into the earth. And then if you feel okay enough, pull energy back from the earth into yourself and create a circuit.
And that could be interesting because our topic tonight is psychic vampires and people that feed off energy. And I guess the first aspect we can discuss is very simple. Simply, how would you define a psychic vampire?
A psychic vampire. Now, there's levels and gradations of what a psychic vampire, in my opinion, is. And, of course, everybody from Alan Kardec, Edgar Cayce, to Raven Silverwolf, to anyone who's ever been a special guest on Main Street Radio could talk about it. But in my opinion, it's basically someone who can open their energy channel up and create a vacuum to pull in energy from somewhere else or something else. Now, you can do that in the sense of pulling energy from crystals. You can do that, but you could pull energy from animals, okay? We all do this on some lower, in one form or another, by just connecting with human beings. That's why we feel when we're not connecting with other people, that at times we can feel our energy levels kind of at a minimum because we're not bouncing energy off of someone else. When it's like the most abundant positive relationship or when you're in a romantic relationship with somebody, you have a way of giving to them and they give back to you. And if it's pretty even, it can end up being one of the most beautiful, amazing things you've ever had happen in your life.
Right.
If one
so it's
person
not
giving
only
more and the other person sucking more, it can be a little off kilter, and that could be friendships, that can be father, son relationships, it can be anything. If someone's taking too much and the other person's giving too much, it can go that way. But some people are specifically out to suck your energy, and a lot of people don't know they're doing it. A lot of people have no clue that what they're doing is being an energy vampire. And it may be as simple as them just constantly calling you and overloading you with just their life, their detritus, their life problems, their layers and layers and layers of, like, just ridiculously just drama that they have. And what you're doing is, as you're saying, well, here, let me try to solve your problem, or here, let me try to figure this out for you, they're opening a channel up, and what they're really doing is saying, well, give me your energy, because I need to rebuild myself. And that can be the case. Or, quite simply, it's somebody that you've never seen or talked to before that simply walks up and quite literally knows how to open a channel up and just pull your energy from you, leaving you drained.
And I wanted to also clarify that, just for those listening, I know I have a multitude, you know, different listeners from many different practices and backgrounds, that there are positive and negative aspects to this. I don't think every psychic vampire is intentional. I also think sometimes it can be a brilliant person that is unintentional. And also, some people even say there's positive aspects, like they can be used, a psychic vampire, a natural one, can be used for various healing practices and various energy healing practices, and are particularly good at drawing negative stuff away as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, when you're drawing energy, that doesn't mean it's all good energy. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just drawing energy, like drawing blood. But, you know, for a long time, you know, the clinical process of drawing blood was thought to be this cure-all way of healing people. And then, of course, that was taken in out of context for hundreds and hundreds and probably over 1,000 years with people drawing blood for just almost any illness.
Oh, yeah,
but at
bleeding
the same
them out.
Time, yes, it can be a good thing, too. It can definitely be a good thing. To speak on any experience about this, and please call in and share your experiences about this.
We do have a few callers there.
Okay, well, if we want, we can just jump in and take a caller, and then we can revisit the topic in
sure.
a broad sense, maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit into the show, and kind of, because I certainly have a lot to add with this topic.
Sure.
It's just a big topic. It's a huge topic.
And the reading may tie into it.
Yeah. Certainly. So, yeah, go ahead and take a caller.
Oh, something just happened. Somebody dropped. 661, please feel free to call back. I pressed your microphone and it dropped. But 484, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
This is
Darren Bucare. You're on with Daniel Michael and Darren Bucare. This is Transcendence.
Hi, yes. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, this is Tonetta giving you a call back, letting you know how things are going.
Oh, good, good. So what? How have you been, and what's been happening?
Well, actually, I called in last week, but you weren't around. They said that you were out of town or something. So I so I said, okay, I'll call back next weekend. So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you for calling back in.
Mm-hmm. I remember you.
What's that?
So I had an engagement of sorts last week. I had to do kind of a metaphysical situation for someone who had a wedding reception and that sort of thing. So how are you, and what's been happening?
Well, I know that right. I know that you had predicted a lot of things for me, and those things are actually coming to pass. Daniel has come forward 150%. He's coming over. He's spending the night. He's spending the weekends. Now, we were talking about the last time I think I talked to you a few months ago, we were talking about him wanting a committed relationship. He has not really said that in words, but in actions,
mm-hmm.
with him seeing me and sleeping over and stuff like that, the actions
mm-hmm.
are speaking louder than the words. Now,
okay.
what I wanted to really ask is regarding him moving in, because I didn't think that that would happen, but I'm really having a gut feeling that that's going to be coming up really, really soon, because things are really moving pretty quickly here. So do you feel like Daniel will be living and staying with me soon in my house?
Okay. Well, I can certainly look into it. You know, and again, it's hard for me to pick up the thread right where we left off because, you know, and I can't tell you, I do have quite I'm not going to say an immense client base, but I do have quite a few clients. And I do see a lot of people at the store and,
right.
you know, on the phone and, you know. Your situation on some levels, and, yeah, let's take a look at it. Now, how would you spell your name again? That just helps me cycle back into your energy, your first name.
T-O-N-E-T-T-E.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I want to ask if Daniel will be considering moving in with you and living in the same space with you in the next 2 to 2.5 to 3 months.
Correct. Yes, that would be great.
Okay, great. Now, do we want to work with orange tarot deck or purple? Orange or purple?
Orange.
Okay, very good. One moment, please. Just one second. Okay. All right. Just one second. He has good intentions.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Okay. I just think that he has two life situations that need to work themselves out that have nothing to do with you. He is going to have something unfortunate come to pass for him that's going to tie up his logistics. Focus, meaning sometimes we have something that's not financial but logistical that we need to take care of. It might be some student loan paperwork. It might be some stuff from a past relationship that's just, it's largely not exactly financial, but it's something that he needs to kind of work out. This may keep him in a holding pattern a little bit longer than he'd like to be. Is he building towards a wealth of emotion towards you? Yes. I'm going to say yes. Why? I'm getting the Ace of Cups. Okay. Getting the Ace of Cups. The Ace of Cups is a huge, immense tsunami of building emotions. Okay. The Ace of Cups. The Cups are emotions, spiritual connections, soulful power. Okay. And we're talking about, you know, energy vampires and that sort of thing. This is a wealth of energy that's building for him. I don't think he intended to have this happen with you. I think that he wanted to be a little bit more methodical, a little bit more you know, keeping it more casual. It's out of his control right now. Sometimes we just begin to fall in love with somebody or have intense feelings, and sometimes that's just where the situation goes. And I think that it's beginning to build like that. That's what the Ace of Cups means. Moving forward from there, we see the Hermit, and the Hermit inverted means it's quite simply that he should be doing some introspection. Right now, it's like he doesn't want to be alone. He doesn't want to be alone.
Okay.
He needs you, but he needs people in general. He doesn't want to face the dragon, and the dragon is who he is, what he's done, what he's been through, what his trials and travail. Now, if he was really, really strong in himself, he would sit down and take a couple months and just face what he is and what he needs to do to release any negativity. However, right now, he needs people. That's where he is on the strength ratio. So, and he's slowly, kind of lightly, I'm not saying falling in love exactly, but falling, he's being immersed in you. It might be, some of it is, man. He's not sure what's going on, but so, I think that's good. I think he might have some logistical things that are going to keep him from moving forward. However, in the long run, one moment. I'm feeling good. Okay. Maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 months maybe? It's a distinct possibility. When you have the Ace of Cups, it's like he's almost being reborn emotionally. Okay. Then I get the Prince of Cups. And the Prince of Cups I see with, like, this deck that I'm using, the Prince of Cups, he's staring into the cup of his own emotions. He's artistic, creative. He's going through this whole wealth of this feeling. It is building inside himself like a newborn child, like he wants to kind of regroup and kind of have this new, fresh look and look at the world with fresh eyes again. So he may need, now, if he does move in, realize that you may be playing Mama Bear on some levels. Do you want to
okay.
do that? You have to ask yourself.
So are you saying that this man is definitely falling in love with me, right as we speak?
No, that's all you heard out of said, then you can't take it out of context because there's a whole bunch of other stuff that did not exactly say he's falling in love with you. I said that his feelings are mixed with a feeling love feelings for you. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on with it. I think he's regressing back to either mid-teens. You know how you are when you're a middle teenager?
Yeah, because that's funny that you say that because you were breaking in and out. I couldn't hear you that well. But that's funny that you said that because me and him grew up ever since we were like 14 years old. We lived 4 doors away from each other. We went to school together, high school together. So he knows me since I've been like 14 years old, and I'm 38.
Yeah, there's a synchronicity there. There's some connection there, and I think that you're going to help him work through some stuff that happened, I think, as he got into his later teens to early 20s, that you may be helping him reconnect with himself and work through that. And I think at this point he does need you in his life. I'm going to say I would look at more towards 3 to 4 months from now. Do not try to lean the situation towards him moving in before he's ready, because what you'll be doing is you'll make him feel caged up, and you just don't try to coerce the situation. Let things happen organically.
He hasn't told me that he loved me or anything yet. That's why I was asking you if you felt like
he's feeling a whole. Look up the Ace of Cups and own that card, because that's what he's feeling. It's a whole lot of emotions. It's a broad spectrum. It's a rainbow. It's a spectrum of emotions. But none of them really are geared towards anything negative. It's just more of being, if he was shut down emotionally, this is the floodgates are open now. And they're tied into you had a big effect on that happening. So it goes so good.
Because I want him to look at me as more than a friend. Because we were friends before.
Well, that's definitely happening. But the friend part of it is a big part of it, too.
Okay. All right,
good. It's a big part. It's the kind of, you know what, this might be somebody that you'll always be interacting with to your golden years. Okay?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You're building that kind
of
foundation of, you know, that the touchstone that you're building now with this person can last for a very, very long time. That's why I wouldn't rush him moving in unless, you know, I would look at 3 to 4 months from now, and then I'm getting this Prince of Cups. So that would be the other card I would look for, is the Prince of Cups. Again, that's, like I said, connecting with that mid to late teens energy, like that new bright-eyed, wide-eyed fascination for all the things that are beautiful about life and all the adventures you can have spiritually and emotionally. That's what I'm seeing.
And I remember talking to you last time, and you said around the middle of May that he would be approaching me and wanting a relationship and stuff like that.
And we're here now, so take the next step and just be patient. And own the positive energy that's happening. You know? I mean, we have to trust and have faith when we know something in our soul. And, like, even, you know, I'm a newly married person, and we certainly had issues before, but the thing is, I knew when I met her, when I get a message from my spirit, it's just, that's it. Like, you know, I got, this is the one, that's it.
Right.
A lot of other roads stayed, no, but I have to trust what I see and what the vision is, so just relax. I think that realizing that the relationship you founded with him, whether or not it's the ultimate perfect romantic relationship, it still was very much needed in your life and his life, and you're going to be either profound friends or just, you know, you may be actually giant spiritual connective, like, people in each other's lives.
Okay.
And very well, those moments are still forging themselves together right now.
Right. And I mean, I have noticed, like I said, in the last couple of weeks, how happy he has been since the past couple of months. I have noticed a big change.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a past life thing, too. I think it's a huge, huge past life thing. You know,
sometimes
we have to run into that person, or we just feel, like, lost. It's like,
right.
Where was this
and
person,
I mean,
you know? And you're doing all kinds of other things to make yourself happy, but it's not, something's missing, and you probably were that element. He tried to approach
as
you're just one other person that he's another female that he's trying to relate to in his normal way, and that didn't work.
Right, and I'm hoping because he started seeing me again as of April 26th, and I'm hoping since April 26th, I'm hoping I'm the reason that he has that smile on his face because he hasn't had that there before months ago. He has not had that.
You're a huge factor in it, but a lot of it is him recycling his energy, into new.
Good.
He's getting out of waste, sending waste energy out, and starting cycling in the new stuff.
Right. Okay.
Two cards you want to apply to this situation for the next maybe 2 to 3 episodes. And the Prince of Cups.
Okay.
So that's
all right.
That's now if you're feeling iffy or confused or you want to remember what we talked about, those are the two cards you reference. Okay.
Okay. Good. Well. Thank you so much, and I'll keep in touch.
Oh,
I'll
welcome.
Let you know what's going on.
Please do. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a nice Sunday night. Thank you. Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Dana.
All right, everybody. And thank you very much for joining us again. And it is interesting
always nice to talk to somebody, you know, that has something positive happening and building. You know, it's like, it's really a beautiful thing.
And it was going negative for her for a while. She called before, as she had mentioned she had. And as you said, maybe a newness. Something happened to where it was new, the Ace of Cups, the Page of Cups.
Well,
right.
And that's, people get a little, people get squirrely with me if it's something that's coming up that's not exactly fun, and it's like, I have to tell you what it is, no matter what it is. I don't make oranges. I just, you know, I just squeeze them and put it in a glass. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and that's where if I do see something positive happening and I say cash in on it, then please do, you know. But I have to be honest with you, no matter what, if I'm getting something that, if it's not going, well, you know, I got to be honest about it. So.
Yeah, and Brett flipped a card or two for her last week and got a similar reading. It was similar to, this guy could move in with you because she called last week. But he's like, I don't know. I think he still has a bunch of stuff to work out first. So it was similar to the way you were saying the logistical stuff.
That's exactly what I said, logistical. Sometimes people have huge financial problems. This wasn't exactly it. It was logistical. Which could be, I have stuff in storage in Albuquerque. You know, I don't remember the specifics of her and this guy. I don't, you know. But well, I'm glad things are moving in a direction. And maybe the best thing for her, she'll probably come to some realization.
But back to our topic now. And thank you very much again to the caller for calling. Let's get back. We were talking about psychic vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do another one at the beginning of the show to recap for those. We got some people in the chat room joined us as well. I started a thing where I took a multimeter tester and tested how much voltage do I have in my body and every human being. A considered healthy amount, it's a debate. Some people say more is better, some say less is better. I'm not going to get into that debate tonight. Before the show, it was about maxing at 30. When the show started, it maxed 75, creeping up on 80. I was trying to prove that human beings with a scientific tester are made up of energy. And I like to combine metaphysics with science, kind of like the old alchemists, because they were the same people in the old days, the old wizards, you know? Mm-hmm. And I want to do it one more time, but this is one that I have. It's another tester. Those of you know, Darren, I'm an electrician. And we'll get back to this, because this will only take a second. Here's one I have that tests continuity. I have a lead on one side, it's black. I have a lead on one side, and it's white. Or, I'm sorry, it's red. And I'll touch one side to the other with my fingers. I'm not touching it to an electrical circuit or metal. I'm touching one finger to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Then I release one finger. There's a continuity of something that conducts and potentially conducts electricity in a human being. And I know this because my job is that I'm an electrician. So what I'm saying, as part of our show's discussion, is it can be tested that we are, in part, energy beings. I guess you heard that beep. Oh, Darren got disconnected. Well, of course, call back, Darren. Oh, there he is. He's calling from a cell, and there he is. There you are.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm in Mississippi right now. We're at a friend's house in Mississippi. We went fishing today and some other stuff. You know, so I'm kind of in a weird area for reception. So that's why you lost me.
Did you hear the beep of the tester when I did my experiment?
I did, but I also lost the car. That's right. When I don't know if that did that have anything to do with losing you?
I don't think so. This is an internal continuity. It's a continuity test. We use it to test if things are connected electrically.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I did was a multi-volt meter, it's a multimeter, and I was testing with mini or microvolts, a different word for it.
Right.
I definitely heard
that. It was very pronounced.
Yeah, and the one that doesn't have a sound, so I pulled out another tester because I'm an electrician. I have a bunch of testers, and I pulled out one with sound to show people. I was holding one lead in my right hand and one in my left, positive and negative, and it makes a sound. It's saying that there's a connective electrical conduit there, which, of course, is the human body. And scientists and atheists and all those people and the James Randis of the world won't even debate me when I say this. And I'm not the one that came up with this, folks. This is just true. We are in part made up of electricity. So
there's nothing to debate. There's a bioelectric charge in every body.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, you know. I mean, it's I hate to sound a little, you know, like pedestrian, but if you even see the last Iron Man movie, the whole premise of the whole movie is based on bioelectricity. That it just, if you supercharge that element in us, we could be pure energy.
Absolutely.
You know, the synaptic relays in our central nervous system, it's all electricity.
So let's draw that back down into, I was just trying to use a scientific approach because of what I do for a living. That's why I was doing that, because I am an electrician.
Oh, right. No. And what you do is it's an easy way to actually get a measurement on it and a reading on it. That's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. There's a way for you to test and to ground your voltage. We'll get into that kind of stuff later. Right now, because it's all the same terminology that's used in my trade as an electrician that is used in psychic and spiritual working. A send and a return, what you send returns, or it should, or the circuit doesn't work. Having clear raceways or throughways or conduit ways so that the energy can flow properly, and then having a proper grounding system so that you have a proper amount of resistance in order for that energy circuit to function properly. It's the same thing with magic as it is in electrical work that I do every day. So it's kind of a fun, that's why it's kind of a
foundation. You need to if you don't. Now, let's say you are that psychic vampire. Okay, let's say you're the person. You're this jerk face person running around doing this stuff and just opening up a channel and just taking people's energy from them. And realizing, and even if you're not taking that much, just a little bit here, a little bit there, here's your issue. You don't know who you're taking what from when.
Right.
Unless it's somebody you know, and you know what their issues are, and you're used to it, and then that's when you know somebody, then you hang out with them all the time, and you consistently just suck their energy all the time, and you know what you're going to get. But let's say you're that person that just randomly goes to like a nightclub or somewhere and just starts sucking people's energy. I mean, you're gonna suck up some weird energy from people, and then that's to your own, you know.
It's funny that you say that, because when I was doing some research on psychic vampires,
mm-hmm.
I ran across the website, and they said one of the ways that if you think you are a psychic vampire is if you feel this constant need to be around lots of people and crowds, and they mentioned clubbing as well as you just did.
Well, should I just be quite honest? When I was in my early, early 20s, I'm talking 21, 22, you know, and I would go to, like, you know, certain gothic-y dance clubs or whatever. When I'm learning my psychic abilities, basically, I didn't really know I was doing it, but I could open up a channel to, I would go in the middle of the dance floor, and I could open up a channel to everybody in the room, and I would get a charge because I didn't realize I was doing it, but I was sucking everybody's energy in the middle of the dance floor. And they were already depressed, so I couldn't tell what was happening to anybody. Right? But I mean, like, and then I was on a high, jumping up and down. I just felt great. But the thing is, you know, I didn't realize I was doing it. And then later, when working and doing my psychic development in my, you know, mid-20s, I realized, oh, my gosh, I was just pulling everyone's energy to me. Which, of course, I would never do anything like that now. But it's unscrupulous. It totally is. But that's where there's people that don't know what they're doing, and they're running around doing this stuff, and they may not even know it. So at that point, like, you know, like what I went through, there's ways to shield yourself and create a form of defense where someone can't do that.
Yes, and that was going to bring me to my next question or comment about this, is some people, when they talk about a psychic vampire, they're almost talking about them like it's another being besides a human. And all it is a human, in my opinion, with a slight energy imbalance. Some people say it's a condition that can be fixed with proper practice and maybe even proper diet, because what we eat turns into energy too. Any comments on that?
Yeah. I mean, it's all of it's interrelated. And no, there isn't another species called a psychic vampire. There's not, I mean, I don't know.
Right.
We want to, you know, people want to get in all kind of theories about, you know, the ceruleans and the reptile, the reptile people and all that. I mean, like, I'm not in search of different species. I'm not here, this isn't Monster Quest. Like, I don't care, you know, I'm sure there are some things that I don't know about out there. You know, I'm in Mississippi, or I'm in Poplarville, Mississippi right now. I'm sure there's things out in the woods out here. They were telling me, I was just walking around, and they said there's like 15 different types of poisonous snakes, like just right out in the backyard.
Yeah, reptiles out there.
Right, I'm out here with my dog, who's like 2 inches tall. I'm like, oh, look what's going on. So, you know, I'm sure there's stuff out, and there's supposed to be some Honey Island swamp monster running around out there. I mean, I don't know what's out there.
Cool.
But the point is, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about people that know how, either whether or not they know they know how, or they might not even know they understand what they're doing, but they know how to just create a vacuum and suck energy from people. And it's the easiest thing to do. It's like leaving your food out on the porch. If you just leave your food out there, someone's going to take it eventually. So all you got to do is put it away. But if we don't know how to put our food away, then you know, you're leaving it open for people to take it. That's all. And you don't have to be a psychic like me. You don't have to be anybody that practices any sorts of really, you know, advanced spirituality, anything like that, to be someone who is both having energy taken from them, or be the person that is, you know, the energy taker. That's what we have to think about, too. If you're listening to this radio show tonight and you're thinking, hey, think about it for a second. Is there somebody you call all the time when you have an issue and just dump on them? Because if you're doing that all the time and then you're not asking how they're doing, you may be sucking their energy.
Hmm.
And if you think that I don't, I've never done that, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Definitely not.
You know, we have to look at what you give and what you get from people. And, you know, you ever feel like you just show up at a friend's house and you're just like, blah, 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 this and all this stuff about me. And the minute they have something to say, you're like, oh, anyway. Because if that's the case, then maybe you need to appreciate that more.
Yeah.
You know,
I've definitely been guilty of that. Of walking in and being, but I got something exciting to say.
And then the minute they go, oh, my daughter just failed high school. And you're like, oh, that sucks. Listen to this guy I just met. That's like not, you know, you got to appreciate people. And if a friend dynamic needs to change, then it needs to change. Maybe you just need to take a step back and say, yo, I appreciate you, or whoever it is. You know, this isn't about, like, evil vampires running around and killing and chasing people. And so, I mean, on some levels it can be. And sometimes you do know people.
Uh-huh. Oh, he faded away from us again, but his signal is still showing up on the show. And I think I know what he was saying, that it's not just something that's separate from what we are. And like Kevin said in the chat room, needy people, or as Darren said, people that are just, they're always about themselves can be psychic vampires. And there he is again. Let's get his mic on.
Sorry.
You're back, Darren.
Yeah, I'm out in the, I don't know, in the country, man. So that's where the signal is a little iffy. A little bit iffy out here.
And Kevin even said in the chat room that even psychics themselves can be psychic vampires. And maybe that's why they have a slight, maybe I'm just guessing from that comment saying maybe that's why they have this urge to speak to, you know, want to have all these people come to them like that. Maybe there's a fix they get from it as well.
Oh,
I mean, you hear
yeah.
other people from
oh,
all
oh
time.
Most definitely.
Are.
You can, people that are gifted, are they, it's so easy for us to open up a channel. I was just thinking, and I haven't even thought, or considered doing anything like sucking someone's energy. But, you know, I just, even thinking about it tonight, it would be the easiest thing for me to do in the world because I'm so graduated now in what I do. I'm so,
right.
I can heal people's ailments. Like if they have a physical infirmity or pain in their leg, I can take it away. So for me to open up a channel and pull someone's energy to me, it has to be so easy. I just haven't even considered doing anything like that and 15, 18 years, you know, so, but I mean, yeah, it is easy. There's someone that I don't care for very much running around in the New Orleans spiritual community. I don't, but she's, I guess she was pretty prominent in Salem too, but she has bad energy, you know, and she shows up, you know, my wife and I were bopping around and she shows up and she just, she, you know, she tries to chat me up all the time. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. And she just has bad energy. You know, and then she's just, and you know what? She's an energy sucker. And I didn't even think about her, but we ran into her yesterday. When I originally thought about doing the show, we ran into her yesterday, and I just told my wife, I'm like, do not even say hi to her. And that's, you know, my wife's all like, oh, I'm trying to be nice to everybody. I'm like, well, sometimes if someone is reportedly a spiritual worker and she's done a bunch of really negative things in Salem, and she just showed up here and she's doing them here, you don't want to open up dialogue. Just don't even open up dialogue. You know, I mean, it just...
That reminds me, Darren, of a great point, and I think you'll like this point. Remember that in the vampire legend, what is the one thing they say? And that gets a gong. The vampire cannot affect you.
Don't invite
them
in.
But you open the door and let them in. That's, now, I would say in the modern way, that means if you open the door and let them in, then they can really... get you, but I think it's interesting.
Yeah,
you
don't
did
say
that.
Hello. Don't shake their hand. Don't do that. If someone is known to do unscrupulous stuff, and they're a spiritualist, they can probably do harm to you six ways from Sunday, more so than people that can do things on a normal level that you might understand. Think of it like a hacker. A hacker can mess your life up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like a really good hacker. Or I don't even know what, there's some other term that people are using for hackers right now. I don't even know. But a spiritualist is the same thing, except, you know, it's not cyber. It's like, cyber, you know, spirituality, but, you know, the same thing. It's something that maybe it's so techy, you don't understand it. It's just spiritual.
Sure. And as I said before, I was trying to make it a little bit about science, which is something I like to do anyway, because I kind of always like when they say magic is a art, a science, and can be a religion, depending on how you view it. I think Laurie Cabot and Chris Penzeck were fond of saying that. And it's interesting how quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and in this case, very simple electrical science, can prove to you that the human being, with a tester that you can go for $10 or $15 and buy at a Monpa hardware store, can prove the energy that flows through your body, and can even prove the grounding of it. You can touch one lead.
You can scientifically prove it. Scientifically.
Yeah. Now, not
whereas
that all.
I can prove it to somebody personally. I can walk up to you and zap the crap out of you, and I mean, you know, or zap you, you know. But I have a point of where you will feel a psychokinetic. You will feel a manifestation of that. Okay. Now, if you're going to be a really erroneous skeptic, you're going to try to debate it or argue it, and that's something that, you know, you could do. That would be your choice to do so. But you're saying you can go and get this meter, and there's no way to disprove it at all.
There's nothing to disprove. This is a meter that is used to save lives. It's a simple multimeter. I mean, in some ways, it's a complex little electronic tool, but it's become so popular and widely used, it's affordable. It does the job of like 10 or 11 other older testers. But long story short, basically, yes. This one, the one I bought, I purposely bought a low-level one to use for this experiment. I mean, for my personal stuff. I have more expensive ones I use for work, for equipment and stuff. They all work the same way. This one's just not rugged enough.
Well, anyone who would debate the fact that we are conductors of bioelectricity.
Yeah, it's $10. It's accessible to the masses to buy one of these.
Anyone that would argue this fact that we conduct bioelectricity, I mean, would be, I don't know. Has anyone read Mary Shelley? Like, who would argue that? They'd have to be real.
Of course. And so my point just being is that this is one of those things you can say if people are looking for that, to like the most skeptical person and go, okay, we're partly made up of energy. A tester proves it and they won't argue it. The doctors won't argue it. The atheists. All they'll say is that it doesn't mean you have a soul, but you've proven your electrical value though. Your electrical.
Right. We definitely have an electrical value. And the thing is, if we're conducting electrical energy, then we can be powered up or we can be powered down. And that's where the topic for tonight comes in. It's like, how and when are we powered down? Do other people work in as variables to that? And if so, how do we keep ourselves from being victimized or depowered by that sort of situation?
Which will bring me to my next question, and this will take us more on the topic and away from what I was just saying. And how about things that people will say will attract the deceptive and or maybe even not the deceptive psychic vampire? Because as we had mentioned, for those joining us, I saw somebody new in the chat room there for a second. There are things that attract psychic vampires too. And one of them, and you might be able to comment on this, is lacking assertiveness, lacking a certain confidence, or seeming vulnerable. And they say that this can sort of draw the psychic vampire to you.
Well, and it certainly can. Another thing with that is, as you're being, if someone's taking energy from you, at the very minimum, they're showing you attention of some sort. And that's how it'll start. Is that, oh, hey, let me show this person some attention. Oh, really? First they're going to listen to your problems, obviously, on some level, and then they're just going to continue to, you know, I mean, it's the basis level of getting attention from somebody is giving to them. You know, that's where, you know, we see that certain men might try to, you know, hey, you know, appeal to, like, you know, attractive women, or attractive women might, you know, are, you know, attractive men might appeal to, you know, women by saying, oh, hey, can you help me? If you give me stuff, I will pay attention to you. So that's where meek people or, you know, they tend to get their energy taken away from them or money or whatever it may be. So being that if you put yourself out there and you want somebody to take your stuff, someone's going to show up eventually. Wouldn't you agree?
The giving your power away thing, you know, which is so important.
Right.
Because sometimes people in a not good situation, whether it be a crisis or just vulnerability or just lack of self-esteem, will be quick to give away their power. And by power, I just mean in that conversational way, they're quick to lend it away. And then someone will come in and fill that void. And if they're just going, oh, well, it's just good to have somebody here, but that person might be destructive, sometimes without knowing they are, sometimes with being actually deceptive and knowing.
Some people are masochists. Like, they totally just want that because it on some level, at least that shows them, oh, I'm alive.
Right.
You know, like, okay, like, if someone's paying attention on some level. Which, to me, really, it's saddening that as human beings, you know, we get to a point of where now that person, odds are they don't have a strong spiritual connection to higher energy. Because if you did, you wouldn't want to just lay down on the railroad tracks to let somebody know you're alive. To let
yeah.
your, you know, to reaffirm your place in the universe. You just wouldn't. It wouldn't be that important. You know, people always approach me sometimes and say, wow, you seem so happy all the time and all this stuff, you know. And it's like, well, I'm connected to higher energy. I don't let a lot of stuff bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. You know, I mean, you know, I might not have X and X, you know, like I can't just do maybe whatever I want financially or whatever, but a lot of the times I can, and my life's pretty damn good, you know. I enjoy myself, and I'm here as an extension of higher energy, and I help a lot of people every week, and to me that's completely rewarding. So what about that are you not understanding? What about your life are you taking for granted? Because first of all, you're alive. If you're in America, odds are you can, I mean, you're one of the lucky people in America that probably has something to eat every day. I don't want to sound all kumbaya about it, but it's true.
And of course, one of our listeners in the chat room is from the UK, and of course another, you know, country where I would love to visit. I've never actually been across the pond. I've been all over the United States, been Canada, Mexico, but I've never been across the big water there.
I've never been to the UK either, but I'm quite the Anglophile, so I really, you know, I appreciate it. I can even really, sometimes I can isolate different dialects from, you know, different areas in the British Isles of sorts. So that's kind of nice. But, and for the most part, as far as I understand, a lot of people there are, you know, I mean, they're not having a huge problem with hunger, but or anywhere, you know, like where appreciate what the little things that are happening and kind of build on that. You know, do not let somebody be that psychic vampire. But, I mean, it's, I don't know, maybe sometimes you need somebody to get under your skin. That's another thing, too. It's
now, you live.
Sometimes we need somebody to come in and make us sit up and pay attention to what the hell's going on in our life. And it might be a person that really takes advantage of you. Maybe you need that at that point.
And I wanted to comment on that. You live in an area where I lived near in a similar environment, but not exactly the same. You're in the Gulf Coast. You're in New Orleans. You're down south in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Pensacola for a while. And I will say that my experience there, the first thing I noticed is that public schools are maybe not a priority. There were a lot of, and I'm not a snob by any means. I'm just making a point. There were a lot of very uneducated people there, and as well as I thought, is a lot of people taking advantage of them, and a lot of people just dumping on them, whether that be in the form of personally, or even in the form of politically, or even in the form of putting dangerous things in their neighborhoods that are toxic. But it's like, oh, it's a poor neighborhood, we can do whatever we want kind of thing. And so what I mean is a lot of potential for deceptive psychic vampires in that southern Gulf Coast, at least environment that I was in, and I imagine in certain areas in New Orleans and well as you are in. Have you witnessed these sort of things, like sort of predatory behavior?
Yeah. Well, I guess how much, I don't know how candid I want to be. There was this, okay. I think I might have mentioned before in a show where there was somebody that came up to me. When I think of psychic vampires, there's somebody that just comes to mind completely. And she just channeled a lot of negative, like, aspects of, like, ISIS and all this stuff, Hecate. But anyway, I met her in Savannah, and she gave me, like, a rose quartz pillar for my birthday and all this stuff. But then she kept wanted to give me, like, a back rub with geranium oil, all this weird stuff, you know. But, like, she was specifically out to meet other people that had psychic connectivity and sucked their energy. And she was after me. I don't know what she was trying to do, but I realized it immediately and avoided her. But she kept, like, she would stare at me outside this restaurant I worked at. This is when I was, like, 23, 24 in Savannah. So this is in Savannah. So I come to New Orleans, right? And I'm here, and I'm like, okay, and I'm working at Marie Laveau's doing readings. And, you know, just had gotten here. This is, like, 8 years later. Right, or whatever, that, or not 8 years. Anyway, like maybe 5 years later. So I'm at Marie Laveau's. I'm still pretty young, whatever. So now she was real hippie-ish when I met her. She was still talking about, I am the dark, I am like Hecate, I'm all this stuff. But now she shows up in New Orleans, and she's got like all this patent leather stuff on and spikes, and so she's all like gothed out or whatever. Shows up at Marie Laveau's, and she's like, she looks at me, Daniel, and she's like, I knew I'd find you here. The spirits told me to find you here. And I'm like, ah! Like, last time I saw her, she was in Savannah, and because she was so out of her body that she was standing in the rain. It was raining. Now, she had a cup of tea, and I walked by her, and I looked. The tea had no lid on it, so it was raining into her tea, and she was taking sips out of it. That's how out of her body she was in Savannah. So she shows up in New Orleans, and she's like, I knew I'd find you. I'm like, oh, no. I like, ran back in my office, shut the door, and I was like, oh, I hit the emergency buzzer and all this stuff. So, right. So I'm like, but it's just one of those weird things. I'm like, how did she find, damn it. You know, because Savannah and New Orleans are similar, but just weird. So I go back in my office. See, I knew some people in town that I saw her popping around certain areas where, so I warned everybody, I'm like, leave her alone. If you see this girl, I'm telling you, leave her alone. She's just, I don't know, bad juju, you know, whatever, right? Leave her alone. So, of course, there's this guy that, you know, hangs out at the bars, and of course, he started, like, I could tell that she was trying to sink her, like, you know, energy tendrils into him, and I warned him, I'm like, but don't do it, man. And then, sure enough, 2 weeks later, she, like, took all this stuff from his apartment. He was, like, crying and bawling, crying, all this stuff. And I tell him, I'm like, oh. But you just knew, you know, and she's a total predator, you know. And you can tell, like, not only is this person a psychic vampire, but, you know, on other levels, too, taking everything, not leaving her shred.
And that's what I meant. Exactly. That culture. When I was down south, I ran into so many people that were just such takers, and some of these other very poor people would try to help them because they were kindly hearted. In the one case, this girl who was, you know, if you saw her, you know, I guess she was an attractive young girl who was addicted, and she just had, with all kinds of problems, but she knew her power. And at the very end, some nice old southern guy goes, well, I'm going to help this girl. I'm going to take her in, you know, give her a place to stay, try to help her find a job and all that stuff. And then at the end of the story, she beats him to death with a bottle, you know, and it was like not that far from my house. She just freaked out, whatever, who knows? I mean, I don't know the whole story, but, you know, and they'll do that. And this isn't somebody with money she was taking advantage of. And at first she wasn't taking advantage of, she was just accepting his help. But then that'll be an open door. And I'm not saying don't help people. I'm all about helping people. Just be careful about the person you're taking in so close and personally to help. And, you know, she was, you know, taking and stealing. I won't say that, but it's too close, I guess. But I've known other stories of people that somebody's just trying to help, and then from the very person that's helping them, they're stealing their property, they're stealing money when they're not looking, they're stealing their television in one case, I remember. Just all these stories floating around like this of take and take and take. But the person maybe had a certain charm, so they'd be like, if I could just get over this next thing. And for some people, that's true and that's real. But you have to guard against, is there ever an end to that pattern? Or does it ever end that they're just, you know, taking and taking, I guess? And, of course, some people are just unlucky in other things, too, and they can work on that as well. I mean, I've definitely been in hard times. I've been borderline homeless myself and squatting. So I'm not speaking from some snooty position. I had a car repoed and was homeless at the same time. Didn't have a house, didn't have a car, was wondering what the heck's going to be the next step. So I've definitely been dirt poor before. I'm just saying you have to be careful about who you try to help. And I've been there, and I've been taken advantage of myself from doing that. And I learned that lesson. It was a lesson I had to learn personally. Total vampire person, you know. But let's go to another aspect. What about if somebody thinks they themselves could potentially... Or perhaps if they themselves, and I thought you just came back, you were drunk, may be or may have qualities of being a psychic vampire, and they don't want to be in any way deceptive about it. So let's drift into that element of the, that aspect of the argument, excuse me.
Well, are you saying like that doesn't, they don't realize that they're a psychic vampire?
Or people that, because some people will ask the question, am I one, right? That would be an interesting question for a person to ask. Am I a psychic vamp or am I a psychic vampire, or do I have some qualities of that? One quality I remember, they would say that people being very naturally feeling fatigued all the time, feeling tired all the time.
Well, yeah. Okay, so wait, you're saying someone who is a psychic vampire being run down?
Yes, that's why they need to feed off the energy of others. Some people are calling it an actual physical energy condition that...
No, there's other things that are... Let's see. There's other things that are attributing to it. Whether it's drug addiction, whether it's, you know, lack of nutritional, maybe it's lack of serotonin, that's what they're... Then they're going to blame it on the fact that then they need... If you're sucking energy, you're getting energy.
Right.
By my experience. Now, I could be wrong... I could be wrong.
It's not wrong. I think it's actually just more vast than people think it is.
I'm not saying I could be wrong. I mean, there might be other ways of looking at it. I can tell you this. When I was doing it remedially and I didn't know I was doing it, I felt a bolster of energy.
Right.
I felt great. It's, you know, like how you're, if you're drinking an energy drink, you know. But it felt even better than that, like an immensity. So it's like that, there is no way you would feel more run down. Now, maybe it's like the coming down off of it. That's certainly possible. But I just don't see that.
But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about if you're alone and not draining the people, then you feel...
If you're not draining and then you're feeling, and then you feel the need to do it more.
When you're by yourself and all of those sort of things.
I had a friend, too, that... Well, we used to go out and dance and stuff, and she, her and I, you know, were just very the center of a lot of social activity, you know, in my mid to late 20s. And I think on some levels we got used to that sort of, you know, dynamic happening. And I think for her, maybe she wasn't an energy vampire, but she constantly needed some sort of vestigial, like, you know, just sort of a low-level attention from people. So she wasn't totally sucking energy. She just was getting a lot of it.
Right.
People were eager to give it away on some, you know, remote level. And so she was there. She always had to have a lot of it. And the problem with her, and you know, she's a wonderful, wonderful person. Love her to death. You know, and she's married now, and then she's very relaxed. But the thing is, she could not stay and date one person. And we were just friends, so I was always great with whatever she was doing. The point was, if she would date one person, then she would still be going out with maybe two or three other people and have, you know, friendships or whatever with them. But she could not focus on one thing. because it wasn't enough energy. It wasn't enough.
Now, I knew a girl like that in my youth as well, and I guess so many of us have.
Mm-hmm. It just had to be five different things at once, and that's okay. And when we're young, sure, you know, if you're, you know, as long as you don't harm people to the point of you know, as long as you try to put out around as much positive as you put out that might be harmful, then you're not doing anything to really misshape the universe or to put any karmically, you know, make sure your karmic bank account is balanced. That's all. As long as you're doing that, I think you're going to be fine. We all do stupid stuff when we're younger or even when we're not younger. Just make sure your karmic bank account is balanced.
Now, it's funny that you said bank account and karmic bank account, because I know you're not looking at the chat room. You're on a cell phone in Missouri, or is it Memphis or somewhere? Where the heck are you? Mississippi?
I'm in Mississippi, Missouri. I'm in Mississippi. I'm in Poplarville, Mississippi. And that's why, I had somebody, I'm at my wife's best friend's house here, and someone just drove up in a, you know, I think he's like in the back. Lives behind that. You know, he's trying to talk to me just now, and I'm like, I can't. I'm on radio.
Because of in the chat room they mentioned, do you think a psychic vampire, if they have the means, would be the type of person that spends more money and shops more?
Well, yeah, because they're cycling through. Psychic vampires waste more energy because they're sucking more energy. So, yeah, shopping is okay. If you need to take from other people's stuff, whether it be energy, whether it be money, you're going to blow through it more because it's going to come in. Think of the piratical attitude. Some people always, you know, they either complain about stuff in New Orleans and stuff, and they complain, and I'm like, there's nothing to complain about. It's a piratical city, meaning everyone's, like, just going to, you know, they're frisky. They want a lot to happen immediately, and it's going to go out the door again, you know. You know, the money is there, and it might be there, and it's gonna go out the door again. And they don't care because they're here to enjoy life, you know, and that's great. But they're also, if you give them a chance to, you know, don't leave your wallet sitting on the table all night either, if you get my meaning. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you always root for Johnny Depp in those movies, right?
Right.
But he's still a sneaky guy. I don't know, you know. He's still, like, he's, like, pirate, hello, like, so.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I guess, you're going to, so the question was, if somebody's a psychic vampire, is that person going to be shopping a lot? Well, probably. They're not shopping with their energy. Now, the energy, you know, energy translates into money sometimes. You know, let's say this.
Well, I agree with that.
Let's say you're used to sucking someone's energy. You may be sucking their energy all the time. And then they feel down. They don't know what to do. Then they call you. And then they're looking for some sort of recognition from you. Because you're this person that if you give them a little bit, then they suddenly feel up. And then you tell them, well, you know, I'm having trouble. I really wish I had a new motorcycle. Maybe you'd be the best friend if you bought me a new motorcycle. Oh, suddenly you got a new motorcycle. Okay. You get my point on that?
Yeah. And, it's an interesting thing.
Codependency in a way. But you can do that. You can mesmerize people a number of different ways, psychologically and stuff. But people that are energy vampires are on some level... They're mesmerizing a victim. They're mesmerizing that person. They're making them codependent. They're putting them off kilter. That person will never feel at home with a foundation of self because they'll always be waiting for that validation from that other person, you know, whether it be energy, whether it be, you know, psychological. You know, there's all sorts of different levels to it. So.
Well, and that's a good point. I'm going to take a brief musical break, Darren, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
Continue our discussion about psychic vampires and energy. Welcome back to Transcendence with Darren Bouquer and myself, Daniel Michael. And we've been discussing psychic vampires, energy work, and all sorts of things like that. And we'll continue that for, we have about 15 minutes left. I'd like to do some brief plugs. Let me go ahead and do that. Sunday evenings, you're listening to right now with myself and Darren Bouquer, Transcendence at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Darren is a reader, Darren Bouquer, who is your main host, is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Mr. Kevin Baird. Walking on the Sidewalk, a Horizon Oracle's Journey. Kevin is the creator of the Horizon Oracle deck, a series of oracle cards that came to him in various visions. Kevin can be reached at www.templeofgaia.com. And, of course, Tuesday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time is Inner Wisdom with your hostess, Miss Mary Phelan. Mary has been on television here in Fairfax, Virginia, for about 14 years. So be sure to tune in. Her and her husband, Neville, they've authored a couple of books, been in a lot of projects, and have been on TV 14 years. Now you're here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network family. Of course, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time is the flagship show, Main Street Universe, with myself and hostess Janice, and the return of Brett Hillman as the third co-host for a while. So be sure to check that out. This week, we're interviewing Orion Foxwood. Look him up if you want. Friday evenings at midnight, we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with your hostess Jessie and Nichols George. She's the author of two books, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. She's working on two more. She's just about done. But that's Friday at midnight. So we are a network of five shows, soon to be six. Janice may be doing on Friday evenings the World Reggae Party, as my hostess Janice, as well as the World Reggae Party that she does here on local Fairfax Public Access Radio. So that's the five shows that make up the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And now back with your hosts. Welcome back, Darren Bouquet.
Hello, hello, hello. So also, just to let everyone know who has tuned in this evening, if you are interested in a private consultation with me, please feel free to get a hold of me at dbucare, that is dbucare, and that's at gmail.com. So dbucare@gmail.com, and I will try to fit you in and schedule a private phone consultation for you, or if you are in the New Orleans area or plan on visiting my fair city, please feel free to give Marie Laveau's house on Bourbon Street a call, schedule some time with me, or again, you can get a hold of me through my email and schedule a private appointment as well.
All right. Our discussion this evening is psychic vampires. We discussed certain things that may make you think, hey, I might be one. But I think all humans have qualities of psychic vampirism. Some people embrace it more. Michelle Boulanger, if you're familiar with her, she is one that claims to be psychic vampire and said that without it, she becomes physically ill and can't survive without having, she uses a voluntary donor for energy or a series of voluntary donors. So some people say it's actual. If you have an extreme case of it, it can really make you sick, just like having an excess of energy can make you sick and cause blockages and do all those things.
A glut of energy, yeah. That's what it makes you crazy. I think it makes you frantic. Some people cannot help but suck. You know, sometimes when you, it's not sucking energy, but it's sucking psyche or picking up too much. I tell a lot of my clients, when I see you in person, I can look on your hand through my Ayurvedic palmistry, and I can tell if you're just, you're too open. If you're too open, you're picking up too much, and it can be very bad, very, very bad for you. So I say, quite frankly, you need to learn shielding. You need to learn how to have a spiritual foundation in yourself, and you need to learn how to release. And those people are suffering from that glut of energy. It's too much. So if you're residually, if you're an empath and you're residually picking up all this stuff in a room, yeah, you're being a psychic vampire, but you're not trying to. These people are just gifted. And they're remedial, picking up remedial just energy from everyone is making them crazy. It's making them frantic. It's creating all sorts of different, you know, stress factors, all sorts of things. So it's learning how to block that. People always ask me, what are you getting from me? I'm like, I'm not getting anything. Right. Because I have blocks and blocks and layers and blocks and levels of blocks and blocks of stuff that I don't want anything from you. I'm not getting anything from you. Now, if you schedule an appointment, we'll sit down. When people call in, I will open up to that person. That's why if you listen, I'll say, well, what's your name or how do you spell it? Because that programs my psyche to ask my spirit guide what's going on with that person. So if I don't know that person's name or something, it's a little bit more difficult to hone in and say, it's me, hey, be quiet. This little puppy is going crazy. Bella, stop it. There's like five puppies running around here. I don't know. It's crazy. But it's part, I know. Well, everybody out here is, you know, dogs and all sorts of. It's great, though. It's very nature-y. It's a lot of nature and wildlife and stuff. It's cute. Oh, yeah. It's nice to get away from the hub of New Orleans sometimes. It's kind of get out here a little bit. It's beautiful. But, yeah, it's you have to program your energy. So when I qualify that, I open a channel with that person. Now, if these people are just gifted and they're opening, they don't know what channel it is. They don't even know what's going on. You know, it's like they're just picking up all kinds of stuff. And then they don't clear themselves afterwards. Or they've never cleared themselves. Can you imagine what the buildup would be after a while?
There are people that don't. There are people that do not practice clearing and grounding, and they think that keeps them in an interesting psychic state. I say it keeps you in a frazzled, weird state to where the messages are just all over them.
It keeps you halfway out of your body because that's your only last-ditch effort to keep yourself sane before having a heart attack is you're mostly out of your body. Because what's in your body is all that bullshit that's built up, I mean, or terrible, whatever you want to call it, detritus that is built up from everybody else. So your higher self leaves your body. So it's
right.
Halfway out of your body. So I get these people that come in and they're like, sometimes I'm this, sometimes I do this. Well, I picked up this. One time I worked with a shaman in Native America. Sometimes I did this, sometimes I did that. Da, 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 da. And they're really half of their spirit's out of their body.
Right.
So I'm talking to them, and I'm like, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to ascend out of your body and because you don't want to be here anymore anyway. So you need to do this, this, and this. If you don't, I don't know how much longer you're going to be here. And that's that person I'll look at. If they're in person with me sitting down, I can look and say, wow, your lifeline is not alive. It's disappeared. Mm-hmm. So that person either doesn't enjoy their life, doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow, doesn't everything, you know, and then they're having a tough time. And, yes, their spirit will probably want to get the hell out of there and start over. And it's a sad case. It's a sad scenario. And maybe that's just the state of affairs, but I can help that person. I'll say, this is what you need to do. You need to clear your energy. It's quite simple. Take a break. Stop tweeting people. I don't know. Like, take a, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And it's funny when you mention lifeline and palmistry, because palmistry is not one of my expertise, actually, even though I study the occult and mysticism. And I just have a question about lifeline quickly, because I've heard people say this, that it's not necessarily the length of your lifeline, but the depth of it. Like, is it strong and pronounced?
It's everything.
Yeah.
Time stuff on your lifeline, so if they're telling you the length doesn't mean anything, that's wrong.
I didn't mean like it means anything, but it doesn't look that long, I'm going to die.
The lack of length can mean that you have a fatalistic outlook on things.
Right.
That you're not, I mean, the lack of length, it depends on whose hand we're talking about.
Right.
One person's length is per size of that person's hand.
It's a difficult.
People with small hands, their line isn't going to be as long as a person with a big hand.
And it's a difficult type of reading to do on radio, right? You can't have radio callers and go, well, this one kind of looks like this.
That would be impossible.
But I just wanted to say that because I wanted to let people know that Darren also does.
It's one of my big focuses with my practice. It's huge. But it's you got to be in person for that. I mean,
right.
I can do it on Skype. I would rather have the three-dimensional hand in front of me so I can look at all the nuances of it.
Right. There's so many different lines.
I don't know. I can do it at Skype. I'm probably ignoring a huge part of what? I'm sorry?
No, it's okay. I was just saying there's more to palmistry than there's four or five basic lines that you see in the little basic book. There's a ton of them. There's little subtleties in the.
Oh, there's so much. I mean, I could spend an hour and a half on somebody's hand and still. I could spend a lot of time on. I could spend probably 40 minutes on yourself.
Right.
If I really want to scrutinize everything on your thumb, your thumb is your willpower. I mean, it's on the palmar ridges, the phalanges, your fingernail, your thumbnail, like how the shape of your thumb. I mean, like the. I mean, it's there's so much. So when let's say I look at somebody at Marie Laveau's, I'm looking at your hand, but believe me, I'm not looking at every damn nuance of it. And then occasionally I'll get the academic person, though. You didn't mention my heart line. You know, your heart line, people like to talk about their heart line. You know why? Because those are your emotions. And it's very, very, very deeply, deeply, deeply personal. And when you tell somebody, you know, that this is how you share your feelings and or this is what you're adequate at or inadequate at, people don't like to talk about that. So I don't talk about your heart line a lot. Because I talk about things that are tactile and relevant to your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's the kind of thing that I occasionally, yes, I'll get it as somebody who's a little bit more well-versed in what palmistry is, and they'll go, well, you didn't mention this. It's like, well, buddy, I got 20 to 25 minutes. Would you rather have me talk about how you share your feelings, or would you rather have me tell you about your relationship and the future of it?
Because
I think it would rather be the relationship.
Right. But yeah. Anyway, folks, we're talking about psychic vampires as well. And I just thought I'd bring that in because we haven't talked much about your palmistry in the many weeks you've been on the air. But I understand it's not a form of divination that necessarily is, you know, practical for radio calling. But
I know. It's, you know, of my three main divination forms that I utilize all the time, it is a huge one, but it's one that I utilize in person. So
right.
It is amazing. People, it is a mind blower for people. It really is. I mean, I can't tell you after a consultation, like, people are just, really floored. These are people that I've never met. They've never heard of me. They walk into the store. They're here on vacation, and they want, they know it's a great, like, one of the best places in the world to go get a reading. They don't know what they're in for. I could tell them some vague stuff, and they would still be there here on vacation. They don't, you know. But they walk in, and I tell you what, I mean, I get a lot of crying, you know, because I hone in to real-life experiences. When I hone in on those experiences, they're like, they're, you know, they got a hurricane in their hand. They think they're here for fun, you know. So it's great, and it's a way for people to let them know that they're here in a spiritual city, and they're having a spiritual event happen. My
right.
best friend, Shane, works in the store with me, and people will schedule a reading with me, but before they meet me, they'll come in the store, and they'll run into him, and then he will say something like, your grandmother has this message for you. And it's like they'll have a psychokinetic experience with him and me at the same time. And they have no idea that, you know, we know each other or anything. It just happens like that.
Yeah, and it's funny you said grandmother, because my grandmother was considered to be a gifted, but she didn't do it for a living or anything. But people would come and ask her questions in the little small country.
Oh, right. And even though she wasn't working professionally.
No,
she was still
but
working.
People would ask her, though. And she went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't use energy well. She had no idea. She didn't have the training. She was raised Southern Baptist, but still with a little of that folk magic-y sort of
mm-hmm.
Irish immigrant, you know, thing combined with Christianity. Don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
yeah, mm-hmm.
we are kind of winding down here, Darren. We got about 90
okay.
seconds left.
Okay.
And we were talking about psychic vampires, and basically it's not some evil, awful thing. It's basically a condition that people can have, that we can all have the potential to have, but some people, yes, are the deceptive ones. But then you have people that don't know that they have this, and I think it's something that can be dealt with and treated in various ways.
Right. It's something that it just, be aware of what you take from people, be aware of what you give to people. The other end of psychic vampirism or draining is also how you affect people empathically. What energy, what emotions are you sending out? What thoughts are you sending out? How do you affect people by what you're feeling? If you're somebody who's an empath, it means you pick up energy from people, but you also put out energy. You have the capacity to put out whatever feelings you want. So realize what you put out, realize what you take in, and how much of it. And
right.
on that, I'll leave it to you and our listeners. Again, if you want to get a hold of me for a private consultation, dbucare@gmail.com. Thanks again, Daniel Michael, for co-hosting, and I'll talk to you all next week.
All right. Thank you, Darren. And remember, I have my electrical tester still out, one in one hand, one in the other, and you can hear that we conduct current, that we are a part energy.
Bioelectricity. There it is. Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you all for listening to Transcendence with your host, Darren Bucare.